Hey, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here. Now, do you want to make the kind of profits indicative to the investments you've made in your business? Well, you know, you've heard me talk about the book Profit First on the podcast and how important I believe it is to your success. I'm with its author, Mike Michalowicz, in a one-on-one interview. Are you looking to find unrivaled success? Good. Stick around. Here's a taste.
And that's what we need to do with this system with Profit First. Money will flow into our shop, into that account, but then we're going to next carve it up before we spend a penny. Money will be allocated to the profitability of the company. Money be allocated to pay what I believe is the most important employee a business will ever have, which is the owner-operator.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, Carm here, and Remarkable Results Radio, as you know, is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Now, do you want to keep up on the latest innovations in the auto care industry? I'm sure you do. Hey, please join me and your peers in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020, at the Napa Expo, and get the latest innovations in the auto care industry. This is an event, trust me, you don't want to miss. Contact your Napa store to learn more. So glad to have you here on the Aftermarket Super Learning Highway as we talk about the business of the aftermarket. And make no mistake, we talk big ideas here. Now, if you're new to the Aftermarket's premier podcast, being a perpetual student is your highest professional goal, and we talk about that all the time. And keeping pace with business strategies and tech makes the podcast possibly your most personal learning tool. In this episode 421, I've got the honor to talk one-on-one with Mike Michalowicz. He's an entrepreneur who sold three multi-million dollar companies. He's an author, business columnist, and business makeover specialist. His book, Profit First, will completely change how you do business. Now, I urge you to read it cover to cover and let this interview with Mike motivate you to make important changes on your way to make profits the reward for your hard work. Find the talking points for this episode 421 and Mike's bio and more at remarkableresultsradio.com/E421. Now, you've heard me before urge you to read Mike's book, Profit First. You can find it on the books page on my website. As I said, I want you to read it cover to cover. It's important because there's so much there. And when you put these principles to work, let us know. Not only email Mike with your success story, but tell me too. Mike Michalowicz will give you insights on understanding the core principles and processes of financial gain. And isn't that what we're in business for? It will also shed light on cash flow management, revenue, profitability, efficiency, and the five core fundamental accounts you need to work your business from. Again, I urge you to read or listen to Mike's book, Profit First, and I know that it will resonate with you in so many ways. You'll find that the principles in this book is the prognosis you need to find unrivaled success. As you listen to Mike, think about launching yourself in a whole new direction to implement innovative ways in handling your business finances so you profit first. Hey, a warm welcome to Mike Michalowicz, speaker and author, and author of one of my favorite business books, Profit First. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thank you for calling your favorite.
Yeah, well, it is. So you just grew a beard, I see. Did you know that I had one?
No, Carm, I didn't. And you know, off air, I was like, "What are the secrets?" And you're like, "As long as your wife likes it, you're golden." And right now, I'm at that stage.
Absolutely. I get done with the book and all I felt in my mind, knowing I've been a podcaster in the aftermarket for 4 years with over 500 episodes, and I think this is the kind of exact topic we need to talk about. And it was so, so kind that you were able to find the time to come on. Big principle of the book, one account, cash in bank. Here we are, small businessman. We look at, see the balance that's in the bank, says, "Ooh, look at the money I got, what I can spend."
Oh, sure.
And then, of course, we can't pay our parts bill. We can't pay the tax man. And it goes on and it gets ugly from then. And I'm the greatest technician in the world. I don't know how to run my business. Go back to, you know, E-Myth and scaling and all that stuff. And this book did so much in my mind to help serve up the value of you as the entrepreneur, as the owner of the business. You've got to come first. And when I was looking at the principles of the book, I kept saying, where is this guy going? And it didn't take you more than like 30 pages to nail me.
My father-in-law owns an auto shop. It's called Mountain Lakes Motors. And I've known him ever since I started dating my wife, so 25 years. And What's interesting about his shop is it's gone through three owners. And even though the service offering has basically been the same, even though the customer base has been extremely loyal, has basically been the same, the business's profitability changed on the owners. And so that had me thinking, even 25 years ago, if everything can stay the same, but the variable is the owner, it must be actions of the owner that is triggering profitability or the lack thereof. So in part, that became an inception for me writing this book, was seeing what auto shops go through.
The other thing that I could so relate to it is that, you know, you were there and you'd done it. And, you know, the whole piggy bank analogy of your daughter, I mean, those important pivot points in life, can you share a little bit of that and maybe help our listener understand that they need to find their must-do moment?
Yeah. So my background is I'm an entrepreneur, business owner also. I've done it ever since, for the entirety of my adult life. Now, I wasn't in the automotive space. I was in the technology, specifically computer technology space, and built some businesses, never was profitable running those businesses. But I did sell the company. My first company was acquired by private equity, which is an affluent group of people, bought the company, and I made some money, and kind of stuck with this thought in my mind, oh, you don't make profit while you're running a business, but you do have a payout at the end. So therefore profit, my definition of profit is not the accounting definition. It's not just a number. It's cold hard cash, right? That's what we're talking about. And I said, oh, the cold hard cash happens when you sell a business. Profit is an event, as an eventuality. And so I started a second company in computer crime investigation, right place, right time. It's stratospheric success from the outside, but again, never profitable. In fact, we were accumulating debt as fast as we were growing, but Fortune 500 bought that company and it paid off everything. And I made a gob of money and I said, clearly, I know now the solution is you got to build businesses as fast as possible and dump them as quick as possible. So my third iteration was my turning point. I started an angel investing company. I'm the worst angel investor of all time. I have no right to be in that space. I didn't know what I was doing. I started 10 companies. They all collapsed. And I evaporated all of the wealth I'd made in selling the other two companies. And this piggy bank moment was I had to come home to my family. This is not too long ago. This was 2008. So about 10, 11 years ago. I had to go to my family and tell them that we're going to lose our house, which we lost, and our possessions, our cars, which we lost, and everything. And I had to tell my daughter that... she couldn't go to horseback riding lessons anymore because I couldn't afford the $20 per session. And as I said that, and I recount the story in the book, we were at a dining room table. She ran out of the room and I thought she was running away from me, which was also, it was so humbling and embarrassing because, you know, your own child doesn't want to be with you. But in the same regard, I didn't want to be with me either. So I respected that. The thing was, my daughter, in fact, was not running away. She ran to her bedroom to grab her piggy bank. And this piggy bank was wrapped in duct tape and rubber bands. It had never been broken. My daughter vowed that no robber would ever steal from her, that she was gonna save money to buy her horse one day. But she ran down to me and said, Daddy, I'll provide for our family. And this is a 9-year-old girl saying this. And it became a turning moment for me, but it's also the darkest moment in my life. I had such a misunderstanding of what money, how it worked and what it was, that my own daughter felt compelled to save us. I went through actually depression after that and so forth, but it became an awakening for me that even though I had outwardly successful businesses because I'd sold them, I did not know what it meant to run a successful business. I did not know how to make profit a habit, to bake it into my business. And I ultimately endeavored to discover that. And that's why I wrote about Profit First.
Mike, do you have to get to the low of the low in your life in order to really make a change?
For me, I needed it. I needed the equivalent of the cardiovascular event, right? The heart attack to stop smoking. It is very hard to change. Actually, my business partner told me this analogy once. He goes, you know, we get so into a groove, it becomes a rut. I like that. Like I was so into my routine, and even though it wasn't working, it was at least my routine. There was comfort in doing what I was familiar with, even though it wasn't serving me. And I would play this mind game that these businesses were successful when they were struggling. And I had refinanced my house to pay payroll. And I said, that's a good thing. When you hit the wall, that was my awakening. I hope other people don't need that, but sadly, I think some of us actually do.
Well, I think you wrote the book in such a timely manner for our industry. We've suffered for a lot of years with the lack of real business training. Hey, I was a great tech. I could be a good businessman. I've interviewed so many people, you know, we call the show Remarkable Results, and I just want people to come on and tell us, you know, your pathway to remarkable results. And they said, it wasn't always this bright. And I'm not even at the end of my journey yet, which is really what the great stories that we get told. And now Profit First entered my life. I read it, and I realized that it's really a blueprint. So when people read this book, and I'm talking to you now, my listener, you will read this book. You must read this book. And we've got Mike on the show, so you can realize he's just a straight shooter, been there, done that kind of guy. And when you get the book and you read it and you love every principle of it, and I want to go to my accountant and says, I'm going to do something kind of neat and new and different. Does my accountant look at me and say, you're weird?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually the most common thing. And I don't hold this against accountants. They, too, are in their groove, which has become a rut. Traditional accounting has told us that profit does come last. And that's why many accountants will wait until April 15th, year end, and say, oh, here's your income statement for the prior year. Sorry, no profit again. Sorry, no money left over for you. So you will get that deer in the headlights look from your accountant. But it's just because they don't understand cash flow management. I designed Profit First not to serve the accountant, a logical mindset. I designed it to serve the behavioral concept. Most entrepreneurs, most business owners, regardless of industry, balance their books by, not even balance their books, by managing their bank account. They log in to see their cash balance, and if they have money, they can spend it, and if they don't, they can't. That's the basic principle of how we run our business, where the accountant says, never look at your bank account. You know, read all these complex statements, your cash flow statement, your bank balance, blah, 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 and tie it all in together and then do these reconciliations and then you'll know exactly where you stand. We don't do that. So they will look at you cockeyed, but understand that they're coming from a very logical, compliance-oriented mindset that the government has deemed through a tax system. And we simply need a system that works with our natural behavior, yet still allows us to comply with tax law and so forth. And that's what Profit First, I hope, does.
You know, when I grew up, I learned what a balance sheet was. I learned what an income statement was. I knew what managing return on sales was all about, and the KPIs and the measurements that you needed to have. But there was a huge part of my life, Mike, where we weren't looking at cash flow statements. And it was like so wrong.
Carmen, there's a word for that. That's called being a human being. So you're not alone, brother. Like me too. I studied accounting in college. Like, and I have no clue how this stuff works. What I did was I would revert to bank balance accounting. And quite frankly, I've now interviewed my own accountant around cash flow statements and noticed that sometimes his explanation of it is a little bit different. So I question if he even really knows it. And this is his profession. I'm not compromising or questioning even the validity and importance of a cash flow statement. But when it comes to the day-to-day management, it's not practical. We need a system that works with our bank balance, allows us to continue our existing behavior. And it's in these circumstances where there's an anomaly that then we can refer to these more complex statements to determine, you know, where the root cause is.
So let's make an assumption. I buy Profit First. I read it. I totally agree. I've got to implement this. I share it with my accountant. He calls me. He tells me that I'm nuts. But look at Profit First as a cash flow management system and let him crunch his numbers and bring me the P&L and the balance sheet there, and teach me, Mr. Accountant, how to much more appreciate that. But I'm going to learn. You're not coming in and telling me that I'm running a bad business because I don't have any money to pay my bills. He's not telling me. He's not coaching me through. It's almost like Profit First is almost the coach that says, hey, there's not enough money in the op account, so you can't spend money.
Right. Profit First will start to speak to you, if that's the right terms, that your business will speak to you. Because basically what we do is, in the traditional way of operating our business, we have what's called a primary checking account. We put all our deposits in there for every transaction that happens throughout the day or the week. Then we look in there and say, do we have enough money to pay for the parts and to pay for the labor and to operate the shop and all this stuff? And then, you know, miraculously, is there anything left for us? Basically, all the money goes into one pot and we take everything out of that one pot. The analogy I like to use is, if you're hosting a dinner, like a Thanksgiving dinner, do you take that turkey out of the oven and then tell all the guests at the table, hey, everyone grab your knife and fork and just stab into the turkey, is every person for themselves? Of course not. What you do is you carve the turkey so that everyone gets a portion of the meal. And that's what we need to do with this system with Profit First. Money will flow into our shop, into that account, but then we're going to next carve it up before we spend a penny. money will be allocated to the profitability of the company. Money be allocated to pay what I believe is the most important employee a business will ever have, which is the owner operator. Taxes will be reserved, and the operations of the business and parts and all that stuff. We carve this money up. Then when we log into our bank account, like we do anyway, now instead of seeing one lump sum of money and saying, hey, whatever part of the business is starving, dig into that turkey. Now you actually know what money is available for what purpose before you spend it. It gives you absolute clarity of how you can use your money.
A couple of the principles of the book really made me stop and read them a couple of times. And that was, oh my God, I don't have enough money. So let's grow the top line. Let's bring in the revenue, build up, you know, that single checking account with all the cash in it. It dwindles down. Oop, go out and get some more sales. I know that's the wrong principle, but you really covered it. And by the way, I'm going to give you some high fives. Sometimes people read a book and they get halfway through it and starts repeating, or they get 3/4 of it. But this, your book continues the lesson, and it also ties up a lot of stuff at the end, which is so worthwhile to read the whole way. And by the way, you're funny too.
Thank you. Not everyone appreciates my humor, so I appreciate you saying that. It's the beard. You know, it's the beard. It's the commonality of the beard. That's why we like each other.
We're connecting here.
Yeah, we're connecting.
Remarkable Results Radio and Napa Auto Care know the auto care industry is revving up. New technologies are changing cars and the way people use them. To stay in the driver's seat of all these advancements, you need to take charge of your learning, your business, and your legacy. Now, that's where 2020 Napa Expo comes in. With help from industry experts and the best suppliers and manufacturers, the 2020 Napa Expo will provide the innovations and answers you need to charge forward into the future. This is your chance to network with experts in the industry, discover the latest innovations that will help you stay market competitive, and learn more about the new products, services, and equipment you'll soon be using every day. Hey, if you missed this one-of-a-kind event in 2015, I'm here to tell you, you don't want to miss the 2020 Napa Expo. But you don't have to take my word for it. Here are a few of the comments we've heard from Napa Auto Care Business Development Group members talking about their experience at the 2015 Napa Expo. And I quote, "You learn so much in the seminars that our guys find it really exciting and say, hey, I can do this when I get back." Another quote, "Napa continues to bring new programs up for us to get to the next level in marketing, business management, and training." And finally, you'll come away with a lot of knowledge and friendships that you'll be able to leverage in your own business. Hey, take charge of your learning, your business, and your legacy. And join me at the 2020 Napa Expo in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020. Hey, contact your Napa Auto Parts store today to reserve your package for this can't-miss event. Enrollment is going on right now. Walk us through this, driving revenue to create cash.
Yeah. So actually, this is something I'm researching out now intensively for my next book, which is not going to come out till 2020. But what I found is there is a Maslow hierarchy of needs in our personal lives, right? So basically, we have physiological needs. Every human being needs food and water, oxygen. And then you go up towards shelter, and then there's these higher levels as you go up of our needs. And what it says is a higher level need is not being serviced, we will try to address it. But the second a lower level need is not being addressed, that higher level need doesn't matter and we revert to a lower level need. For example, we need to breathe air. Food and water matter, but if you are choking to death, you don't care about what you're about to eat. You care about actually dislodging food because oxygen, the consumption of oxygen is the biggest priority in supporting the human biology. Well, what I found is there's a parallel to the hierarchy of needs for business. The base level is actually sales. Every business needs sales because it's the oxygen for the business. The next level up is profitability, which is the nutrition for a business. It's the food and the water. What happens, though, is a business that's struggling isn't profitable because it's not a natural law. This is just a hierarchy for business. Entrepreneurs will often revert to trying to sell more, which is the equivalent of saying, I am starving to death, profit. My business is wilting away and I'm going to get out of this by gasping for air. You can't breathe in food. You can't do that. Yet we revert to this. And so it becomes a trap of constantly trying to sell more and hoping that's going to turn profit. The reality is, if you want to be profitable, it's almost regardless of your sales level. What matters is that you're pre-allocating money toward profit. That profit is a habit that's baked into your transactions. So it's not the volume of transactions or the amount of transactions. It's that every transaction has a piece of it allocated toward profit. The money's literally taken out, stored away, and the business is run off the remainder. So that's a trap we fall into, is that sales trap.
Excellent analogy. Thanks, Kent. I know your current book is called Clockwork, isn't it?
Yeah, that one came out this year.
Yeah, I've got to pick that up and read it. It sounds fascinating. In fact, I think one of the principles of the book was get all your systems working and then go take a 4-week vacation to prove
it. Wow. Yeah, you know the synopsis. Actually, that's the pivotal determining factor of a healthy business. I found in my research as I was writing this book that a business that can run in the complete absence of the owner is the healthiest business, because it's not dependent on the owner, which, by the way, is also the most valuable business. An external party would want to buy your shop if they don't need you, the technician, doing the work. To identify if your business can truly run in your absence, this is not a theoretical thing. We have to remove ourselves. And for most businesses, in 4-week cycles, we experience every element of the business. Ordering parts, doing repairs, collecting from customers, handling an employee that may be leaving. All those elements will happen typically in these monthly cycles. So what we do is we remove ourselves from the business, not right away, by the way, you build to this, but you remove yourself for 4 consecutive weeks, a full physical and digital disconnect. Remove yourself, and then when you return, if the business is operated in your absence, you have a business that can run itself. The process of Clockwork, by the way, builds us to that. That's the pinnacle test, but we build to it and build strength in removing ourselves. I think the danger entrepreneurs have is, I call it the Superman syndrome or the superhero syndrome. We think we can swoop in, and we do, and save the business yet again, but this makes the business more and more dependent upon us and actually weakens the business.
Thanks for that quick analogy of Clockwork. That will be one of my next reads. Now, people are listening and saying, okay, profit first, get it, help me understand it, Carm, so that I can go out and really commit and buy this book. You have 5 fundamental accounts that you share with people. One of them is income, profit, owner comp, taxes, and OPEX. How did you pick them?
My business, and my research team, if you will, we conducted an analysis of about 1,000 different companies, industry agnostic, by the way. So we actually did research out a couple auto shops, but law firms too, and window cleaners and restaurants and everything in between. And what we found is that across all these industries, there are these 5 core functions financially that have to be addressed. For many businesses, there may be additional, but these are the foundational 5. Income is simply a serving tray of money. It is the inflow of cash. And we never spend money from this account. We will carve up that turkey, so to speak. But it simply allows us to log into our bank account and see inbound cash flow and money accumulating. It gives us a sense of inward cash flow. The profit account is used to reward shareholders. So I want everyone to know that's listening into this, that if you own a business, you own stock in your own company. This is the same as owning stock in some major company like Ford or Chevy. You just own it in your own business. And just like I actually own Ford, I own 100 shares, so it's not like a big deal. But when Ford sent their quarterly distribution check, last quarter was $13. When they sent the check, I didn't say, oh, I don't deserve this, and I returned it to Ford. I didn't say I'm going to reinvest in Ford and maybe, you know, buy a new car, you know, build more cars, Ford, go. And I didn't go down to the factory for work for an hour to earn that. Shareholder distributions are a reward for taking risk of investing in the company. So profit, you're a shareholder in your own business. When you get that profit out, you're not expected to work for that. You're not expected to return to the business. You're expected to use that for yourself because it's a reward. So that's that account. Owner's compensation is the pay now for being an owner operator. So if you work inside your business, and many people do, this is your salary. Next count is tax. We all start our business for financial freedom. Hopefully, and we do something that we get joy out of and see how we're of service to others. Well, that tax account is when tax time comes, your business is going to address your taxes for you. You as the owner, I don't want you ever worrying about taxes again. So the business will pay it for us. And then the final account is OPEX. This is the account used to manage the operations of the business. So that's the foundational 5 accounts.
Love them. Thank you. And it really makes all kinds of sense when you figure out the principles of this book and absolutely implement it. Hey, Mike, a quote you had in the book, and I love this one. Profitability isn't an event. It's a habit.
Yeah. That's the big quote. That's the one that's getting around there. And that was the biggest realization for myself. Here's the interesting thing, Carm. If you look at the foundational formula for accounting, it goes like this. Sales minus expenses equals profit. Profit's the bottom line or the year end. It's the exact terms we use. The formula and even those terms all say that profit comes last. And while that makes logical sense, behaviorally, it's human nature. When something comes last or at the bottom, we mean it's insignificant. Like if you call someone a bottom feeder, that's not a compliment. When, you know, you would never say, oh, I'm going to start putting my family last, finally. Like, no, last means insignificant. It's what comes first, what gets addressed. So in this formula, to make profit a habit, I'm saying sales minus profit equals expenses. I'm flipping the formula. Now profit comes first. And when something comes first, it becomes habitual, it becomes routine. And when it comes last, it's an event or an eventuality. So that's why I have that statement in there. Profit is not an event. It's not the bottom line. It's not the year end. Those are all terms for delay. Profit comes first. It's baked into every transaction. Profit is a habit.
We like to spend in this industry. The tool truck comes by. There's new tech. There's things that we've got to have that. And the idea of putting the profit first and then having what's left afterwards in its simplest form allows you to go out and say, it's not there to spend. And that's where the great new disciplines, and that's where the habit of taking the profit out of the business first. Love it. And I think we can really change our industry around. We have a struggling industry. There's no doubt that, you know, there's that top 20% of our shop operators that are on fire. They've hired business coaches. They've figured it out. But there's so many in the middle that are struggling. And I really think the principles of this book will help them see themselves and not being stuck in a hole. And, you know, the rule of holes is something I learned a long time ago. You mentioned it in your book. To me, I don't know what your definition is, but to me, the rule of holes is to know when to stop digging.
You're exactly. Yeah. Step one, to get out of a hole, stop digging, right? Step two is climb out. My father-in-law, he was the master of avoiding the shiny object syndrome. So that tool truck every Tuesday would roll on in, or they'd order parts and like, hey, we also got this on the truck. And he would excuse himself and say, oh, I got to go to an appointment. His appointment was actually just leave the room. And when he couldn't see it, he couldn't buy it. And I was like, wow. Out of sight, out of mind. What a smart move to prevent human nature. I think a lot of us think that willpower is the way to make profitability. That if we just have a certain discipline, but I think what we need to realize is that willpower for all of us is like a muscle. It fatigues. You know, that shiny object can only be in front of you so long before the justification comes in. It's like, well, this one I'll buy. And there goes our profit. So what we do with profit first is we actually set up an account for storing profit, so it's out of sight, out of mind. As money comes in, we actually will hide it away from you. So even if you're tempted to buy that shiny object, the money's already been removed and accounted for, and you can't spend the money. And therefore, the money is left over ultimately to come back to you as a reward, but not to spend on the next newfangled thing.
The other thing I took from the book is that you don't have to do this alone. You actually have a support network.
Yeah, we do. So we have two levels. One is, I encourage people to team up with other people. So if you got a shop and you have someone that you know that has another shop, maybe in another state or something, do it together. It's kind of like going to the gym. There's three ways of working out. You can work out by yourself and it works, but you need a lot of discipline. You can work out with a partner, which can be very successful because you hold each other accountable. Sometimes collusion kicks in though. Sometimes that one partner's like, hey, do you want to go to Dunkin' Donuts today? And you're like, yeah, let's just eat donuts. Right? So that's collusion. So that can hurt against you. But there's one sure found way, which is having a trainer at a gym. If you have a trainer at a gym, you know, you're compensating him or her and you have to show up because there's an accountability. You're paid them after all. They also teach you the proper exercises to do. So all the methods work. But there's pros and cons, I think, to each, because the trainer, of course, has costs associated with them. So with Profit First, we suggest all three. Do it yourself if you have the discipline. If you don't, maybe do it with someone else, but watch out for collusion. And then we also have a trainer network. We call them Profit First Professionals. In fact, one of our members, her name is Nancy Williamson, works exclusively with auto mechanics and auto shops in implementing Profit First. And yes, you have to pay her, but she's the ultimate form of accountability, and she makes sure you're doing the right exercises and don't injure yourself.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. another principle from the book that I absolutely love, because we are an industry that's suffering from debt. You say the only way to get out of debt is to make money.
I thought to get out of debt, I just needed to sell more. Until someone told me, said, Mike, the only way to get out of debt, which is a past expense that we couldn't afford, so we borrowed money from someone else, is to be profitable. So the only way out of debt is to make more money than you're spending today, so you have the cash reserve, profit, so you can pay back this past expense that you couldn't afford. So if you have debt, that instills the fact you need profitability. Hopefully profit first is the tool you explore, but there's others too, I'm sure. But you have to drive profitability. Then as a profit accumulates, you do use the money to pay off your debt, and the goal being to eradicate debt, become cash flow positive, and then future profit distributions go, you know, right to you.
Two more principles from the book, and I'm happy that we're kind of doing a little give and take here, Mike, as I have taken some of my talking points that I think are really powerful to talk about for our industry. You say that your competitor will take your profit away.
Yes, your competitor will take your profit away. So the interesting phenomena I saw is some businesses got really good at becoming profitable. And then they said, well, listen, I figured this out. And they'd stop pushing themselves. And then one day, all of a sudden, a competitor popped up and started to offer the same service, offering at a lower cost point, and it kind of pulled the rug out. What we have to understand is that profit is a perpetual process. You'll never hit a top limit, because as you become more profitable, it's like sharks in water smelling blood. Other people will discover, wow, that's really profitable what that person's doing, and start replicating it. There will always be a pull down from the competition, which means we always need to be innovating our processes. So the process of improving your profit position is a perpetual lifelong thing. It's a fun thing, by the way. But if we get lazy and we simply say, hey, I got this figured out, I'm good, we're just going to leave things status quo forevermore, it's just a matter of time before someone yanks that rug out and takes all your profit away.
Yeah, all your great creative newness or things that you're doing that make you have differentiation and add value, someone ultimately figures out.
Yes, that's the nature of every industry.
The goalpost keeps moving. I mean, and that's something we have to expect. I loved what you said. Just don't get fat and lazy.
Don't get complacent.
Yeah, I call that being bold italic.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
And one more final thing, Mike. Efficiency is the secret sauce of profitability. Now that's a wow.
Wow, it really is. Margins is one, but you can only increase your pricing so much before customers will be resistant and ultimately say, I can't afford this, and go to alternatives. So look for margin. But increased margin also allows for inefficiency. You can make mistakes, but you can always improve efficiency, and it doesn't adversely affect the client. If a repair, whatever it is, takes an hour, and you charge $500 for that repair, well, now you can do it in a half hour. You still charge $500 for that repair, but the savings is in that time gap. Now, that was half your labor cost went into that. And maybe there's some other things you save on. If you keep on pursuing efficiency in that, maybe you can get down to 15 minutes. All that savings goes back to you on a repeated basis. So efficiency is golden. Also be aware, you can get to a point of diminishing returns. You know, once you carve something down, 50% or 75%, to squeeze out another 5% may take such innovative thinking, so much effort, maybe even investment, that's not worth it. So try to carve out efficiency, but don't go ape crazy with this, you know, to the point where you're actually losing on it.
Systems and processes win wars. I've always said that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do. You know, because it makes you mighty, right? And might is right.
Mighty is right. Out of the books you wrote, Clockwork, Profit First, Surge, The Pumpkin Plan, and I love this one, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. I haven't come close to that. Based on the service professional and the needs of our industry, what books of yours should be first on the reading list?
Great question. And you know, I used to say, oh, you got to read, you know, X, The Pumpkin Plan. I've now changed my position. I ask people a question in return. I say, what's the biggest challenge you face right now? Like, what's the biggest impedance toward your vision? Are you not profitable? Profit First is it. Are you not growing? Is growth a problem? That's The Pumpkin Plan. Is it efficiencies? That's Clockwork. Is it hiring? I actually did not write that book. You would probably seek a third party. There's many fabulous books on that practice. So I'm not going to give a carte blanche answer, because I think that would be harmful. determine what your biggest challenge is. And there's a book out there. I hope ultimately to write that book for you if I haven't yet.
Hey, this was great. I know your time is valuable. I know you're speaking everywhere. And obviously, you're finding a lot of time in your world to write.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was writing this morning and I'll be tomorrow morning again, too. That's my passion.
Thanks for coming on. And thanks so much for contributing to the podcast that, you know, we talk the business of the aftermarket here. And I think this is just so perfectly apropos. Any final tip you could give our service professional on how to become more profitable?
Well, thank you for having me, Carm, first of all. And the final tip is this, that achieving higher levels of profit should not be a sudden massive adjustment to our business, because that would be harmful. There's a small step you can take. And I found it's a sequence of small steps that will get us to the results we want. So here's the simple action you can take. And my promise is, if someone does this, listening to this podcast today or by tomorrow, within 24 hours, you will be permanently profitable within 24 hours. It's two steps. One is, go to your existing bank, as long as you like them, and set up another account, call a savings account, and call it profit. That should take an hour at the most. And it's well worth that 60 minutes of your time, because this will be a life changer. Step one, set up that profit account. Step two, allocate 1% of your income. And the reason it's 1% is it's such a negligible amount. If $1,000 of deposits come in today, I'm saying take 10 bucks. Because I know this, if you can run your business off $1,000, you can run your business off of $990. That 1% is negligible. But we will move that to the profit account. And what will happen is, very quickly, you'll start seeing cash profit accumulating. You'll be permanently profitable. And that starts to build this muscle and say, wow, what if I make that 2%? What if I add the other accounts? And over time, and maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, you'll be full throttle on profit first.
The profit muscle. I love it. Go build it. Mike Michalowicz, speaker, author, Profit First. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.